Hi, this is Elizabeth Vincentelli from the New York Post, and you're listening to Days Gone By on UNC Radio.
Here on the 10th annual Total Theater Tony special, we have another esteemed critic with us, the chief critic for the New York Post. She's been with us a couple of times and very, very happy to have Elizabeth Vincentelli back in the neighborhood. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
So would you say overall this was a good, great, mediocre season overall?
I think on Broadway it was overall pretty good. I think it's telling, especially for musicals, when there's so many new musicals to choose from and some big ones were ignored, that's usually a sign of health. For plays, it's a bit of the reverse. It was a really poor season for new plays, but very, very good for play revivals. For musicals, I think it showed that the field is very healthy right now.
Well, let's see how healthy this particular category is. We've got Elizabeth talking about Best Revival of a Musical, and there are only three nominees. I imagine they could have done four or five, but they've chosen Hedwig and the Angry Inch, of course the Jan Cameron Mitchell Stephen Trask musical, Les Miserables coming back, and Violet, the first time Violet's been on Broadway. So, Elizabeth, your thoughts on those three?
Actually, they really didn't have many options. It was pretty much those three and Cabaret, but Cabaret was not eligible because it's essentially a revival of a revival.
Right.
A revival of the 98 revival, which won a Tony for Best Revival and for Alan Cumming and a whole bunch of people. So they were not eligible to win again. It's essentially the same production.
Although everybody in the cast except Alan Cumming is different. So,
but, and actually, they were eligible. Some of the supporting actors got nominated, but Alan Cumming was not eligible because he had won the Tony for essentially the same performance.
True.
In 98.
And also, do you agree with the decision to make Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill a play? That I honestly don't understand.
Yes, I completely don't understand, because then you might as well say that Hedwig is a play. They're very different, of course, but both Hedwig and Lady Day both use the same concept of a concert in which the songs are linked by narrative.
Right.
The main performer. So if one is a play, well, then so should the other. That makes no sense. And really, Lady Day should have been a musical. The main result of that is that it allowed Otto MacDonald to be eligible in the play category, where the competition is much less stiff than in the Best Actress in a Musical, where there were a lot of great female performances this year.
She's got a clearer field to possibly get her sixth Tony Award.
I think she will. I mean,
maybe.
I'm not venturing out very far there, but yeah, I think she will win a sixth Tony.
But what about for the three shows that are nominated for Best Revival of a Musical? Hedwig, Les Mis, and Violet.
One of the most interesting things about that is two of them, Hedwig and Violet, technically, if you're going to go by the letter, are not revival because they've never been on Broadway before.
Mm, that's fair.
Both new on Broadway. They both premiered off Broadway, Hedwig in 98 at the Jane Street Theater and Violet in 97 at Playwrights Horizons. And they just made their debut on Broadway in slightly revised form. There have been tweaks to both shows, actually. A lot of the pattern in Hedwig has been updated with current references. I mean, the songs are the same. And Violet has really been trimmed down to like a one-act piece, where it used to have an intermission. It's really been trimmed and kind of...
streamlined, yeah.
Yeah. So, Les Miserables, of course, everybody, that really is a revival. I mean, it feels like the show is never going away, though. It's always there. It's never more than 3 to 5 years between productions. Like, one closes, and 3 to 5 years later, there's another one. So,
and the movie, of course.
The movie.
Kept it in public consciousness as
very
well.
Very familiar. They're interesting. They're completely different shows. And I enjoyed all of them, actually, in different ways.
Well, you're a voter. You are a Tony voter. So which are you voting for, and which do you think will win?
I'm going to vote for Violet.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I love Violet. I love the show. I love the production. This production actually originated at Encores last summer.
Mm-hmm.
One night only concert. It was so successful, I think the Roundabout had an opening in their schedule, so they kind of put it in there. It transferred beautifully to Broadway. I think it's a beautiful piece. So that's who I'm voting for. But I think Hedwig is going to win it. And that has a lot to do with the overall love for Neil Patrick Harris's performance. And I think that's going to carry it through. Les Miserables is not going to win because it is such a known quantity and the production is quite good, but it's not nothing, you know, or shaking. And I think people who like Hedwig really, really like Hedwig. I like it all right. I think Neil Patrick Harris actually is a little miscast.
Oh, why is that?
He's not a natural in the part.
What's missing?
Well, I think he's basically a nice guy who's really does not have a... The character really requires someone who can express a certain rage and a certain anger at the world that Neil Patrick Harris, who's had a really blessed life, does not have. He's a song and dance man. He's been really, I think, a little overrated over the past few years because he happens to be a very good award show host.
Yes.
And that does not a good dramatic actor make. So there's a leap there that I'm not willing to make in the case of Hedwig. Although he's very entertaining, he works very hard. But he's not a natural in it the same way that Daniel Radcliffe was not a natural song and dance man in How to Succeed in Business.
True.
They both work very, very hard and they're very likable. But I think they don't connect with the characters in this kind of raw, basic way where you feel that, oh my God, that person was born to play this role. There he's really playing a role. It's a really good put-on. He's not a... He doesn't have a rock and roll bone in his body. He's a very old-school...
Musical theater kind of...
It's just a different vibe that I don't think is quite right for that. A show that essentially is very punk in outlook and in sensibility. Very pleasant production, but it's I think Violet, artistically, is much more fulfilling. Not to mention that the score of Violet is absolutely gorgeous. So that's my vote right there.
Great. And speaking of artistically fulfilling, I wanted to ask you one or two of your favorite other shows of the whole season. And this can be on or off Broadway. Just one or two that come to mind that really rocked you.
My favorite play of the year was a play that was at Playwrights Horizon early in the season, in the fall, and that was called Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, which actually had a lot of songs in it, but it would be a play with music. It was not a musical per se. And it's a post-apocalyptic play where electricity has gone out and people remember, they create their new folk tales by revisiting Simpsons episodes, particularly the Cape Fear episode. And as the years go by, their memory of the episode become really hazy, and to the point that it turns into a kind of bizarre, almost Gilbert and Sullivan, like very dark. And so there's a lot of songs, and it was absolutely incredible, really well-written and well-directed, really inventive, really head and shoulders above the rest this year. For musical, actually, it's been a really good year for musicals. I don't think there's been a masterpiece, but there's been a lot of really good surprises. I was a big fan of Bridges of Madison County. Against all odds, I really did not expect. But I find myself listening to the cast album a lot, and I really hope that wins for score, actually. I don't know if it will, but I hope it does.
Wow, Bridges of Madison County. I know you were kind of a fan of First Date and Zach Levi. I remember you were...
But I was really a fan of him.
Him, yeah.
More than the show. I thought he proved to be a real natural. But what else did I like? I think I liked the one that nobody else liked because I liked Bullets to Broadway.
Bullets Over Broadway. I had a wonderful time at that. You weren't bothered by the fact that they didn't use new music?
Well, it was a little weird, but I thought it worked in that context. And also, I was a big, big fan of After Midnight, and you could make the same point. After Midnight, obviously, it's really probably one of the best jukebox musicals ever.
Yeah.
Such a glorious production, but yes, there's no original score. It's a little tricky. I found the score of If Then interesting. That show had a really very clever book, and the score was not quite there. Less impressed by things like Aladdin, I thought, was kind of lackluster and looks really cheap.
Hmm.
I don't think it was a year where you had a big, great blockbuster like Book of Mormon, for instance. It was a year with a lot of interesting failures, but not even failures. The Bridges of Madison County is a very flawed show that has stayed with me more than shows that were a lot, on the surface, more enjoyable and more successful. Same, I think Aladdin is a fake hit. It is not very good. It is really busy and trying so hard. Actually, another highlight of the year for me was Anna Nicole Opera, which was an opera about Anna Nicole Smith at BAM. The very kind of jazzy, modernist score, and that was absolutely terrific. And in a kind of bizarre universe, you could see that playing on Broadway. It was very accessible in a very bizarre way and very winning. And unfortunately, it was the last production of City Opera. As much as of a musical as Sweeney Todd. I mean, if Sweeney Todd is a musical and it's done on Broadway, I could see Anna Nicole being done on Broadway, but I mean, it would have to be a different
Well, they tried with Jerry Springer about 10 years ago to bring that to Broadway, and it fell through. Almost made it.
I think that Nicole is actually even more accessible and, yeah, very jazzy, very propulsive score, really great evening out.
Well, speaking of a great evening out or in, last question for Elizabeth Vincentelli of the New York Post. Where are you spending Tony day and night?
Well, I usually have a little get-together at my house, a little party.
Do you go to the rehearsals earlier in the day?
No. The way it works is that my colleague, Michael Riedel, covers all that stuff.
Right.
And I usually either like blog it or tweet it or something like that. It's a weird, although I'm looking forward to seeing Hugh Jackman. I mean, he's always a treat.
I'm going to miss Neil Patrick, I think. I mean, he'll be there. I think, as you said, he's an amazing show host. So we'll see. I think he'll lose a little bit of the fun that he had the last couple of years. Maybe not.
I mean, he's nominated. He's going to show up, and I think he has a very good chance of winning. He's not going very far.
Well, we certainly feel like winners having Elizabeth Vincentelli with us once again in the neighborhood. So glad that you've had so many good things to see this season, and we thank you so much again for being with us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now.